We begin the current Davim Sechtes Kedushin Dav Samach Aleph. We begin on the bottom line of Dav Samach Mabez, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Dav. And that is, in our Mishnah, we continue the theme of the previous Mishnais, where if the man has been Mekadosh a woman al manas on a condition. Now, one of the conditions mentioned were that on the condition that he gives her a base kur of offer, a certain amount of land. Now, the Gemara will introduce a related discussion regarding what gets combined to the area of a base kur regarding two different areas of halacha, which Gemara will conclude what's going to be the halacha over here regarding kedushin, regarding if he promised her to give her a base kur of offer, what's the parameters of halacha regarding this discussion that the Gemara is going to introduce right now. So the Gemara tells us as follows: Gabi hektish tanan, regarding the halachas of hektish, we learned the Mishnah Mesechtes Erichin, as we continue a tab of Samach Aleph and Aleph, that says as follows: Hamaklish sadehu b'shas hayevel. If someone goes, he takes a field and he's maklish it, he gives it over to hektish, to the temple treasury, during a time when yevel is going on. In other words, at a time when yevel was noyig, that they were the halachas of yevel, the halacha is that any steachuza, an ancestral field that a person inherited from the times of Yeshua when they split up Eretz Yisrael, the redemption of that field from hektish is from a gzeres hakasav, according to how the Torah sets it up. Any field, no matter if it's a high-quality field, a low-quality field, doesn't make a difference. The amount of the redemption is going to be the same as we're going to quote in a moment. In contrast to at a time when there is no halachas of Yevel, which during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, there already wasn't the halachas of Yevel, then actually the redemption goes according to its monetary value, where a high-quality field will be much more, and a low-quality field will be lower down. So says the Mishnah, if someone is makdish his field at a time when there is the halachas of Yevel, so neisin bezera chaymer sa'irim, so if he wants to redeem that field from hektish, because if not actually when the Yevel year comes around, it actually goes to the kahanim, so if he wants to get his field back, he gives for an area where you could plant a chaymer, which is an area of a kor, of barley, you redeem that amount of land, chamishim shekel kasef, for 50 silver shkalim. That's how much money you have to give for that amount of land. Now, says the Mishnah, Hayu Nekoim, if there were these types of pits that are mukam asar tfachim, that were 10 tfachim deep in this field, oislam gevayim asar tfachim, or the other way, if I actually have rocks that are 10 tfachim high, ein nimdad nima, so those areas of the field are not measured together with the rest of the field, as Taisa explains, to be redeemed with the halacha of a chaymer sa'irim, of how much you could plant in that amount of space. But Taisa says, as obvious as he brings proofs, that it definitely becomes Kaddish. It becomes sanctified. It's just that when you redeem it according to its monetary value. Now, so that's if it's more than 10 tfachim. But pachas mikan nimdadadima. But if the pits are less than 10 tfachim, or if the rocks are not 10 tfachim high, then it does get measured together with the rest of the field to equal that area of planting a zera of chaymer of sa'irim to be redeemed for that amount of money. That's the Mishnah over there. The Gemara tells us, Vavinaba, we had asked regarding this Mishnah, that Nehi de Bahadi Ara Lekadshu, we understand that you're not going to measure these pits or these rocks together with the rest of the flat lands that there are. In other words, as Rashi interprets, that the slopes of those rocks or of those pits are not going to be counted together with the measurements of that amount of space to redeem it with this gzeres hakasav of 50 silver coins. But the question we had was, nikdashu ba'api nafshayu, but what we should evaluate and consider as part of the larger field is the space which is on flat, on the bottom of the pit or the top of the rock. You're right, we're not going to calculate the slope together with it, but what's with the rest of the parts that do have utility? Why don't we consider that as part of the larger cheshbon, in other words, the calculation of the chaymer of sa'irim, and not have to do it according to its value? Why isn't that not included? You understand the slope is not because it's not usable together with the rest of the field. But why, if it's 10 tfachim, deep or high, don't we use the usable areas of that together with the rest of the field? So the Gemara says, v'chitem, and if you're going to say the reason is because kamandullah have a base kur lechashiv, because you're considering these areas distinct from the fact that you don't consider the slopes of the height or the depth together with the rest of the field. Now, what do you have on top of the rock? What do you have in the bottom of the pit? A very small area. So since it's not a base kur, therefore it's not distinct, and therefore you can't consider it for this halacha of the gzeres hakasav of zerachem esayim, on that the Gemara says, but v'ruminu. But there's a contradiction to that. Because we learn in the Braisa, it says in the Pasuk, Sada. Now, Matam Alam, what is the Pasuk teaching when they use the word field? In other words, because what the Pasuk should have said, or could have said, is V'imachuzasa Yakdish Ish, that if from a person's ancestral, he will sanctify. Then the halacha is as follows. Why does it say V'imisteachuzasa? But if it's from his ancestral field, why do you have to say field? So on that says the Braisa, L'fishanem, because the Pasuk says in Mayikra, Zera Chaymer Sa'irim, the Pasuk we just quoted before, that if a planting of a core of barley, how whatever area it is that you could plant that amount of barley, is B'chamishim, as the Pasuk says, that gets redeemed for 50 silver shekels. So, Ainli Ela Shehikdish Be'inyin Hazeh, says the Braisa, exactly coming to say the point that we're discussing. So you would think that it's only if you sanctified it exactly in that measurement of a Zera Chaymer of Sa'irim. Now, minayin l'rabbis lesa, how do you know to include that proportionally the same halacha is going to apply if, let's say, you do a lesach, which is a half a kor, or a chatzi lesach, or a half of a lesach, or even just a saw, or even a tarkiv, which is from the word of trei and kav, which is a half a saw, or a chatzi tarkiv, or a half a tarkiv, or a fil a raiva minayin, how do you know even if it's a raiva, a quarter of a kav, that even that, when you, in the times when there's yevil, and you makdish that amount of land, it's still going to go according to the halacha of how much barley could be planted, and that amount of land is going to be according to the measurement of the chamishim shekel of kesef. How do you know it's not just if you have exactly that amount? Says the Braisa, tamalim esada, that's what the term field is coming to say, that mikol makim, meaning no matter what field it is, even if it's not exactly the zera chaymes ayim, and that amount is going to be chamishim shekel kesef. If you have less, then it'll be less, but it's going to go according to that standard, not according to its value. So therefore, back to the question on that Mishnah, why do you not include the pit or the rocks? Because it's more than 10 tefachim. I understand the slopes will not be combined, but the area of itself on the bottom, why isn't that part of the halacha of Zeruch HaMisar? So that Amar Ukva Bar Chama, he says, Hacha b'nekoyim maleim mayim askinam. Here in that Mishnah in Erechim, when discussing pits in the land that are filled with water. Now, Mishum Dela b'nei Zriya Ninu. Now, the reason is because you cannot plant in a pit filled with water. Now, the Pasuk says, Zera Chaymes Arim. In other words, something that cannot be planted, well, then that doesn't get redeemed with the value that the Pasuk's talking about. Rather, according to the Shavius, it's monetary value in the marketplace. Because the halacha of the Chamishim Shekel Kesef is like the Pasuk says, is based on how much can you plant over there. So if filled with water, you can't plant. And the Gemara says, Dekanami Diktani, actually precise reading of the Mishnah, indicates that that's the type of pits in the land we're talking about, because Dum Yudislam Gevayim. It's compared to the other case that the Mishnah is contrasting with, which is with the high rocks, which, similar to a rock, just like rocky terrain, you can't plant on it because it's hard. So too, that's what we're talking about with the pits in the ground, is also because you can't plant in it, Shema Minah. So that's the inference, now we understand. It's not because of the small area, but because of the small area, it would be. It's just because you cannot plant over there. Now the Gemara says, Ihach, if that's the interpretation, then afilapachas mikeinami. Then why does the Mishnah differentiate if it's 10 tefachim or less? What's the difference? If it's 5 tefachim, it's filled with water, you still can't plant over there. If it's a rock that's 5 tefachim high, you still can't plant. So why does that combine together with the rest of the field? So the Gemara says, no, Hanu, those pits, which if they're less than 10 tefachim, nugne da'ara mikru. They're called the water basins of the field. In other words, because water gathers in some parts of the field. So that is considered intrinsic and integral to the field itself. We don't consider it as a separate, like, just if it's 10 tefachim deep, so it's just like a totally unusable part of the field. Here, it's just little crevices that have water. That's considered part of the field. And so, too, the place of these rocks, if they're less than 10 tefachim high, shidra da'aru mikru, they're called the spine of the land. In other words, they're not called by themselves, they're individual, like, mountains of, like, rocks. They're called based on the land itself. We view it as an extension, as a little niche in the land, which it comes upward. It's called the spine of the land, and therefore we identify it as part of the land if it's less than 10 tefachim, and that's why there it will combine with the rest of the field for this halacha of the Gzeiros Kasa of Zeruch Chaymes Ayrim for its pidyon to be Chamishim Shekel Kasa. That's regarding the halachas of hekdesh. Now, however, Gabi Mecher Tanan, regarding the halachas of a sale, we learned in the Mishnah Baba Basra. Mishnah Baba Basra discusses a similar halacha. If someone tells his friend, I'm going to sell you an area of a base kor offer, which again, that same area of a zera chaymer sarim, the chaymer is a kor. Now, v'hayisham nekoyim amukim asar tvachim, but there were pits in the ground, which were 10 tvachim deep. Islam gevayim asar tvachim, or rocks that were 10 tvachim high. Says the Mishnah with it, einim dad nima, they don't get measured together with the rest of the field, and therefore that's not included in the base kor offer that he promised to sell him. Now, pachas mikanim dad nima, but if it's less than 10 tvachim, then it does get measured and it's part of the base kor offer he promised to sell him. So far it sounds the same as the halacha by Hekdesh. But V'amam Ha'rukva Barchama, Ha'rukva Barchama had explained that he said, no, here the halacha is going to be that these pits and these rocks are not going to combine if it's 10 tfachim high, ava pisha ein malei maim, even if it's not filled with water. In other words, in contrast to the way we explained in the halacha of, as Ma'rukva had said, this is the same Ma'rukva Barchama, that regarding the Mishnah in Erichin, there he said the 10 tfachim is only if it's filled with water. Here he's saying it's not going to combine even if it's not filled with water. My time, what's the reason? So Amar Papa, he said, a person doesn't want to invest his money in one field, and that it should appear like it's not one field, like it's two and three different places because they're divided by these large craters in the ground that are 10 tefachim deep, where that's even if it's not filled with water. It's just, it's dividing up the field, and the person doesn't want it when he gets promised a base core offer. He wants one contiguous area, and therefore that's not going to combine. So in contrast to Hekdesh, where that's not a concern regarding Hekdesh, that's just regarding the halacha of it being a zera chaymer sa'irim. And there, it's only going to be a problem if it's 10 tefachim, if you cannot plant in it. But if you could plant in it, then besides the slope, you will combine it. So now the Gemara asks, hachamai, so fine, that's a contrast of the halachas of Hekdesh and of a sale. What's halacha here regarding our topic from the previous Mishnah when you're engaging a woman where he promises her he's going to give her a base kur of offer? Now, if it has these pits or these rocks that are 10 tefachim but they're not filled with water, what's going to be the halacha? As the Gemara explains, lehekdesh midabin Allah, do we compare the case of the woman to the case of Hekdesh, where there we said that we do combine if it's not filled with water, even though it's more than 10 tefachim? Or do we compare it to a sail? Whereas we said, no, a sail, it doesn't want it in separate parts. Here also by the woman, it would not combine for the halacha based kor offer. What's the halacha? So the Gemara concludes, mistabra, it's logical to say lehekdesh midaminla. That actually, the case of Kedusha Isha will be comparable to the halachas of Hekdesh, and that they will combine. Why? Because the amala, the man tells her, I will go through the effort. I will plant the field and I will bring it home. What's the difference to you that they're considered as separate areas? And therefore, although by a mecher that is a problem and we don't combine it, by Hekdesh we do, and by Kedusha Isha we also combine it for the halachas of base kor offer. Although by mecher that is a problem, here if there's no water in it, then we actually do combine the areas of even more than 10 tefachim together with the rest to be considered a base kor of offer. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnahis, discussing the halachas of which we were talking about in our Masechta regarding creating a Kedushin with a Tanai, with a condition. Now this next Mishnah focuses on the general topic regarding halachas of Tanai, of stipulations. So the Mishnah tells Remeir, he says, Kol Tanai She'enoi, any condition that's not doubled, Ketnai b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven, like the conditions that Moshe Rabbeinu had made with the sons of the tribe of Gad and of Reuven, regarding promising them what's called Transjordan, not of that primary Eretz Canaan, but the Eivor HaYarden of the Jordan area, where they wanted that land because they had a lot of flock and children and didn't want to go over to Eretz Yisrael itself. So there was a promise that they had made with Moshe Rabbeinu, which it was a double way, as we'll explain. It was both ways, saying that if you do, then you'll get. If you don't, you will not get. So if someone makes a condition, let's say in our halachas of Kedushin, that's not doubled, ain't it tonight? It's not going to be a condition. Even if the condition is not fulfilled, the primary agreement will go through. So for example, let's say a man tells his wife, this is going to be your get on condition that you give me 200 zuz. Now he doesn't specify the inverse. In other words, he doesn't say but that if you don't give me, it will not be a get. So there's actually in halacha, according to Reb Meir, no requirement of the stipulation of giving the 200 zuz at all. And therefore, even if she doesn't give him the 200 zuz, it's going to be a get. And then the source of this halacha is like we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, that he had to go ahead and double it. Where do we find that? Shenem, like it says in the pasuk in Bamidbar, says, Vayemer Aleihem, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, if the tribes of Gad and Reuben go over and cross over into Eretz Yisrael and help fight the war against the seven nations over there, and then they join that, that's the Tanai, then they'll get what they want to have in Transjordan. Now, but then the next pasuk says the flip side. And if they don't go over fighting as warriors into Eretz Yisrael, as the pasuk there says, itchem with you, then it says that they're not going to get their part in what they want to have in Transjordan. They're just going to go ahead and be like every other Yid and have their portion in Eretz Yisrael. So says Remeyu, what you can infer from there is that had he not doubled it and said the opposite, the flip side, then the condition, the gift, not the condition, the gift of giving Transjordan would have gone through and they would have inherited Eretz Gilad, which is in the Transjordan, even if they wouldn't have gone over the Yarden to go ahead and fight in Eretz Yisrael. So although he said, Im Yavru b'nesatim, if you go over, then you'll get it. Now, but what Remeir holds is that you don't say what's called Mechlal Heina Teshemei Alav, which is, I understand that. From what you say yes, I understand what's not. So if you tell me that you're only going to get Transjordan if you fight, I could understand that if you don't fight, you don't get. And that Remeir says, no, that actually is not the case. If he wouldn't have doubled the Tanai by saying the other side, they actually would have gotten the gift of Transjordan even if they had not done the condition. Because actually in Halacha, there would not have been a requirement to fulfill the condition if it wasn't doubled. Now, as Rashi points out, that Remeir doesn't just learn the Halachas of Tanai Kafel from B'nai Gad and Reuben. There's other Halachas that are mentioned elsewhere in Masechtas Gittin that additionally it has to be Tanai Kodin L'maisa. The condition has to be said before the action. In other words, from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, give them Transjordan if they go over. He actually says, if they go over, then they get Transjordan. Sounds like that if he had not said that way, then actually the condition would not have come ahead and voided the action of the gift, which was said first. So if you say first the gift and then you attach the stipulation, that's not good. You have to first say the stipulation and then the action. Another halacha that they learn from there is that you also have to say the hein kodem lalav. You have to say what will be before you say what won't be. In other words, had he not said first that, in other words, he did not say, if they don't go over, then don't give it. And if they do go over, then give it. He didn't say it that way. He said, if they go, then give. If they don't go, then don't give. So you learn that also, if you want it to be in halacha considered a requirement of a stipulation, you have to first say the hein, what will be if you do, and then what you won't get if you don't do. So that's Remeir's opinion, that we learn that the halachas of condition, and specifically the one we're discussing over here, because that's going to be the one that is a machlekes in our Mishnah, regarding Tanai Kafel, has to be doubled. Now, Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, he says, and as Rashi points out, he's only disputing the halacha of Tanai Kafel regarding the requirement of having to double it. He says that actually you don't say that. You don't have to double it because Mechlal Hein, Nishmalav, obviously. If you say something, you will get. If you do something, obviously, if you don't do, you're not going to get it. Now, so then why was it doubled? As Remeir brings proof in the pasuk, seemingly he had to say both sides. And that he says, no, tzarcha double imrei. There was a requirement to say the flip side for a different reason. Why? She'el mole kein, because if it wasn't the case, had Moshe Rabbeinu not doubled it and said that if they don't go, then they don't get, then yesh b'mashma, then it would have been understood and inferred that if they're not going to go ahead and fight for the rest of the Jewish people in mainland Eretz Canaan, Shafila be'Eretz Canaan, then we would have thought to say that even in Eretz Canaan, which is over the Jordan, which is in mainland Eretz Yisrael, which is the part of Eretz Yisrael that they didn't want, because as the pasuk says, they had Mikna Rav, they had a lot of cattle, then we would have thought to say that even in Eretz Yisrael lo yinchalu, that they would not inherit, because we would have read the pasuk as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu, if he would have only said the first half and not the lav, the flip side, we would have read it as Im Yavru, if they cross over Eretz Yisrael to fight with the rest of the Jewish people, even though they're not going to take that part of the land, because they're taking in Transjordan. So if they're going to go ahead and fight, so then Minasatul Lehem es Eretz Agilad, then they're going to get the land of Gilad, meaning the whole of it, which only they're getting in the Transjordan, because it's a trade-off for their portion of Eretz Yisrael, instead they'll take in Transjordan. Now, but what it would sound like is, but if they're not going to cross over, then they're going to be penalized, and they're not going to take a portion neither here in Eretz Gilad and neither there in Eretz Yisrael, Because they're not fighting in Eretz Yisrael, so they have no right over there. And also because you're not fighting over there, you're not going to get even Eretz Gilad. Now, says Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, that's why the Pasuk had to say, if they don't go over and fight, they're not going to lose their portion in Eretz Yisrael because of that. Or even in Eretz Gilad, they'll all be splitting. In other words, the whole Jewish people get Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Gilad, which is the Transjordan. Now, they wanted only Eretz Gilad and say, we're not going to take a portion in there. The Jewish people, the other 10 tribes, they're only going to take Eretz Yisrael, we're only going to take here. But really, it's one big thing. So what the Pasuk had to tell us is that if they're not going to fight, they're going to get a portion in Eretz Yisrael, 1/12 of it, like all the other tribes. And they're also going to get in Eretz Gilad, 1/12 of it, like all the other tribes. But had we not said that, we would have thought to say that they're not getting anything. You're not getting what you want, which is Eretz Gilad, and neither are you going to get in Eretz Yisrael, because you're not fighting, and everyone else is fighting for it. That's why he says they have to double and say, and if they don't, then they're not going to get what? They're not going to get Eretz Gilad, which is what they want, but they will be like the rest of the Jewish people, and that is they will get 1/12 of Eretz Yisrael, even though they're not going ahead to fight, and therefore, it was for a different reason that it doubled it, but not to tell you that in halachas of Tanai, of conditions, it has to be doubled. So on that he disputes Reb Meir. Now the Gemara continues that conversation and asks that how does Reb Meir learn out from the doubling of the pasuk that you need to have a Tanai kafel, all conditions have to be doubled, the yes and the no, but Shapar Kamal Reb Chanina ben Gamliel Reb Meir, but seemingly Reb Chanina ben Gamliel has a good reason what he's telling Reb Meir why it was doubled. Not because you have to double it, but rather to say, in other words, it didn't have to be said that, oh, if you don't fight, you're not going to get Eretz Gilad. Because, says Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, no, that's what's called Mechlala v'atashmeh, Mechlala v'atashmeh lav. From the fact that I'm telling you, only getting all of Eretz Gilad if you fight, obviously, if you don't fight, you don't get it. Rather, like Reb Chanina ben Gamliel said, the reason why it had to be doubled was to tell you what it says in the pasuk, v'noichezu be'eretz Kanaan. It had to tell you that even if you're not going to fight, they'll still maintain their portion of Eretz Yisrael, but not for doubling. So how do we understand Reb Meir? How does he prove his point that it has to be Tanai Kafel? So Amalek Reb Meir, would tell you, no. Yisal Kedaitech, if you would entertain to explain the Pasuk, that even if they're not going to go ahead and cross over the Jordan and fight in Eretz Yisrael, they're not going to lose their portion of Eretz Yisrael, and that's what the Pasuk is coming to say, and that is lav l'tnai kafalu da'asa. In other words, if you would entertain, like Reb Chanina ben Gamliel wants to say, and not like Reb Meir, that it's not coming to tell you the halachas that you have to double and support the tnai, to say that if they don't fight, then they're not going to get the gift of Eretz Gilad. And because that, as Reb Chanina ben Gamliel had said, that you know from the fact that what you tell you yes, that you know not. So that says Reb Meir, if that's what the pasuk is coming to say, then the pasuk should have only said as follows. It should have said v'im lo yavru, if they don't go over the Jordan to fight in Eretz Yisrael, then v'neichezu b'seichachem. Then the pasuk should have just said that they will then inherit amongst the rest of you. Now says Reb Meir, by default I would explain that what does that mean? If they're not going over to fight, they're not going to lose their portion. But the question is, says Reb Meir, be'eretz Kanaan. The words then when it says afterwards that you'll inherit inside, in other words, not getting your own portion in Eretz Gilad, but rather you'll inherit amongst the rest of them. Then when it says amongst the rest of them, Be'eretz Kanaan, in the land of Canaan, that is Reb Meir's question as we continue to Talmud Beis, Lomali, what was the necessity of saying in Eretz Kanaan? Obviously, amongst the rest of the Jewish people is where they are, which is in Eretz Kanaan. It sounds like that's an exclusionary term. In other words, it's coming to say, if you don't fight, yeah, you're going to then inherit amongst the rest of the Jewish people, which is where? In Eretz Canaan. Well, why say Eretz Canaan? Oh, because only in Eretz Canaan. But if you don't fight, you're not going to get it where? In Eretz Gilad. What do you mean? Because they wanted Eretz Gilad, correlating to the part that they would have gotten in Eretz Yisrael. Says Reb Meir, you see from the superfluous term, Shmami no litznai kavalu da'asa. Obviously, what the Pasuk is saying from the extra words Eretz Canaan is, that is a term that's doubling the condition. In other words, if you don't go over and cross, then what I told you will not have validity. Now, had he not doubled it, then actually the gift would have gone through. Because Reb Meir holds, Mechlal hein loy nishmalav. You cannot infer from what you say yes to say that obviously not. Says Reb Meir, and I know this from the extra words, Be'eretz Kanaan. Why do you have to say the extra words Eretz Canaan? Because that's telling you if you don't fight, you're going to get only an Eretz Canaan. Inferentially tells you, which you're not going to get an Eretz Gilad. Of course not. You're not fighting. You only said you're getting the gift if you fight. No, says Rameh. Because had I not doubled it, you actually, even without fulfilling the condition, would have gotten the land in Eretz Gilad, because the gift would have gone through. It's only by doubling it and saying, if you go ahead and fight, you get it. If you don't fight, you get an Eretz Canaan, which means you don't get an Eretz Gilad. That was the doubling of the condition. So though, yes, he agrees that you needed the first half of that extra pasuk, as Reb Chanina ben Gamliel had said, to tell you that you don't lose everything, but in this Bryce's version, it's saying that, regarding the Gemara's discussion right now, is that, but why do you have the words Eretz Canaan? That's to tell you the Tanai Kafel part. Now, Reb Chanina ben Gamliel Lama, he would tell you that, no, truth is you don't have to double it. And it's just coming to explain that even if they don't cross over to fight, they're not going to lose their inheritance from the whole of Eretz Israel, because, says Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, had the Torah not written, which Ramey was saying is superfluous to say the Tanai Kafel part, he says, no, had the Torah not written in Eretz Canaan, Havamina, I would have thought to say, this that it says in the Pasuk, V'im lo yavru, if they're not going to go over and fight, then they're going to go ahead and inherit amongst the rest of the Jewish people, meaning they're going to get the portion like 1/12 like everyone else of the Jewish people. Says Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, I would have thought to say that means Be'eretz Gilad. That doesn't mean in Eretz Yisrael, because they already settled in Eretz Gilad. They already settled their children and their flock, and they actually assisted the Jewish people to conquer that part. They were on their way to Eretz Yisrael. They didn't cross over yet. They already took over Eretz Gilad, and they say, oh, we want to stay here. So I would have thought to say when this is B'seichichem, it means we're B'seichem in Eretz Gilad. Aval Eretz Canaan Kalal Loi, but in Eretz Yisrael, I would have thought to say that they don't take any portion whatsoever at all. And moreover, they wouldn't take correlating to what they would have gotten in Eretz Canaan, in Eretz Gilad, which is really what they wanted all along, because they don't get any portion of Eretz Canaan to then swap it over and to get into Eretz Gilad. That's why, says Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, the Pasuk had to say, if they don't fight, they get a portion in Eretz Canaan. In other words, that even in Eretz Canaan, they will take, even though they didn't assist. Now, in Eretz Gilad, we understand they get 1/12. Again, they wanted the whole thing, which ended up happening. They got the whole thing, Eretz Gilad. The rest of the 10 tribes got Eretz Canaan. Now, they would get Eretz Gilad 1/12 because they assisted in the fighting over there. But we would have thought to say that if they're not going to fight for Eretz Yisrael, they're not going to get, not only will they not get then their gift, because he holds you don't have to double the condition, and they wouldn't get the whole Eretz Gilad, but they wouldn't get even 1/12 in Eretz Yisrael, because you're not fighting, you're not getting. And of course, then you wouldn't be able to transfer that 1/12 to the Eretz Gilad. Now, but as Reb Chanina ben Gamliel is coming to say, but to exclude that they're not going to take correlating to Eretz Gilad, which is like what Meir had said, that you don't need to say, because again, Mechlal Hen Havishamina Lav, we would have known, obviously, you're not getting the whole Eretz Gilad instead of taking your portion of Eretz Yisrael, because that I know. You're not. It only says if you fight, then you get. If you don't fight, you don't get. But we would have thought to say that if they don't fight, neither do they get even an Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Pasuk had to tell you, that no, they do get an Eretz Canaan, even if they don't fight, but they're not getting whatever they want, which is to get the whole Eretz Gilad for themselves. But Remeir, he would tell you that no. When it says in the Pasuk, had it not said Be'eretz Canaan, which he's saying is superfluous to make this drasha of the inferential that they're not getting Eretz Gilad, even though they're not fighting, because you have to say that, because you don't say Bechlal Heinat Hashem Elav. When it says B'seichichem, he says, it means Kol Hecha De'isluchu Mashmet, wherever the Jewish people are, which is that if they're not fighting, they're getting amongst you, which is, where's amongst you, which is in even Eretz Canaan. So then the question then becomes, according to Remeir, so why does it say Be'eretz Canaan? It's only coming to say that then if you're not going to fight, you're going to get an Eretz Canaan, but you're not going to get an Eretz Gilad, which is you're not going to take the whole Gilad, which is the gifting that they wanted to be given to them, which that comes to teach us, why do you have to repeat that? I know you're not getting it if you're not fighting, because it's only if you fight you get, but if you don't fight, you don't get. No, you had to repeat that because we would not have known if you don't fight, you don't get, because as the halacha, Remeir is learning out from this story of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, that for something to be considered a full-fledged tnai, it has to be both in the yes and in the no. If you don't say the no, you actually will get the gift, even without fulfilling the condition. So that explains their machlekes. Now the Gemara elaborates in a slightly different version on this machlekes, Reb Chanina ben Gamliel and Remeir. Tanya, you learn the braisa. Amr Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, he says, Mashal, the analogy of this incident with Moshe and Bnei Gad and Reuben, he says, "Lama hadavar daima." What could it be compared to? So he gives an analogy. He says, "La'adim shoyi mechalik nuchasim labanav." You could compare it to a person that was splitting up his estate amongst his sons. So Amar, he said as follows: he says, "Pleini bni yorisha de plainis." That one of my sons, he'll get that field. "Upleini bni yorisha de plainis." That other son, he gets that field. "Upleini bni," and that other son, "yite masayim zuz." If he gives 200 zuz, then the yorisha de plainis, then he'll get that field. Now, "v'im lo yiten," if he doesn't give 200 zuz, well then yirish im achav b'shar nechasim, then he will inherit with his brothers in their other fields. But if he wants that field, then he has to give 200 zuz. Now, that's exactly what happened with the other Shvatim regarding, they were taking Eretz Canaan, which is that one's getting that field, that one's getting that field. Now, there were two Shvatim, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, that were told, if you go ahead and you cross the Jordan River to fight the war, which is similar to in the metaphor about giving 200 zuz, then you'll take Eretz Gilad, that other field, which is, but if you don't cross over, then you're not going to lose your portion in Eretz Canaan, like all the other brothers are sharing, which that's the Shar Nechasim, which he was told that you'll get the Shar Nechasim, you just won't get that field. So says Rav Chanin ben Gamliel, "Mi garm loy leirish im achiv b'Shar Nechasim?" What caused this third brother to inherit with his brothers amongst the other fields, that he will get he'll share it with them and just not get that third field? "Kfei loy garm loy." It was the fact that it was doubled that caused him to get the portion with them. In other words, had the father not doubled what he had said, he said, look, if the third son gives 200 zuz, he gets out of the field. If he doesn't, then he doesn't, and rather he'll split with his brothers. Now, had he not doubled that, I would have understood to say that if he doesn't give the 200 zuz, then he'll take in that third field according to what portion he gets amongst how many brothers there are. Like in the correlation of the Shvatim, it's 1/12. But regarding those two other fields which I gave to the brothers, he wouldn't be taking anything. And all the more so, for sure, he wouldn't be taking in that third field correlating to how much he should be getting in the other fields that the two brothers are getting. So says Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel, that's the same thing with the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. The doubling of it was what caused them to get a portion in Eretz Canaan. Because had it not been doubled, I would have said that they're not going to take anything. Rather, they're only going to get in Eretz Gilad 1/12. That's what they're going to get. 1/12, like all the other tribes are getting part in Eretz Gilad. In other words, they're for sure not going to get Eretz Gilad, the whole thing, because they're not crossing over to fight. But moreover, I would have thought to say they're not going to even get 1/12 in Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly like this story over here. What ended up getting him to share with his other brothers, only because the father then said, okay, and if he doesn't give, he'll share with his brothers. Had he not said that, he would only get in that third field or proportionately what he's sharing with the brothers. He wouldn't get that whole field for himself, and neither would he even share with them. So, therefore, that's exactly what happened over here, which is, that's why the pasuk had to repeat it, not like Reb Meir, where you have to say Tanai Kafel. No, it's coming to tell you that, but if they don't go over to fight, if he doesn't give the 200 zuz, then he'll share with his brothers those two fields, then these Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuben, will get their share in Eretz Yisrael. Now, on that the Gemara asks, but v'lidam yemashal l'mastin. The Gemara says, actually, you can't compare the parable that he gives to the halacha, as it's said in his name, in our Mishnah. Because Hassam, over there in the Mishnah, Ketani, we learned that Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel says that had the Pasuk not doubled it, his words were, yesh b'mashma, it would be inferred, you would read the Pasuk, shafila be'eretz kanan lo yinchalo, that they wouldn't even inherit anything in Eretz Kanan. So Alma says the Gemara, so you see that kfeilu le'eretz gilad nami mahani, that the doubling was also for the land of Gilad. In other words, if you read our Mishnah carefully, you see Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel is saying that they actually wouldn't be taking anything. That's how we read it in the Mishnah. They wouldn't be taking not an Eretz Yisrael and not an Eretz Gilad. Because the wording that he uses, that even an Eretz Canaan, which wasn't so dear to the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, they're not going to be taking. Now from saying also, sounds like they're for sure they're not going to get a portion in the land of Gilad, which is what they chosen. So that's how he sounds like in the Mishnah. But v'hacha k'tani, here in the Brice, the way he says it, in this mashal, he says, "Mi garm loy leirishim achim b'shan nachasim." What caused this third brother to share, if he doesn't give the 200 zuz, with his other brothers in the other assets, is kfeila garm loy. It was only because the father doubled it to say, and if he doesn't give, then he'll share with the brothers. Says the Gemara, Alma, what you see is that kfeila l'shan nachasim hu d'gemahani, that the doubling was only helping for the other assets to get at least his share in that pie, But what you see is that it's only helping regarding in the correlation of our halach of Eretz Canaan, which is that without doubling, then they would have taken, actually, although they wouldn't have gotten a 12th in Eretz Yisrael, but they would have gotten a 12th in Eretz Gilad. But that's not the way he sounds like in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, he sounds like that they wouldn't have gotten not a 12th in Eretz Yisrael if they don't fight, and not a 12th even in Eretz Gilad. So how do we resolve the inconsistencies in Reb Chanan ben Gamliel's opinion? And the Mishnah makes it sound like he wouldn't get, when you don't fight, not only you're not getting the whole Eretz Gilad, and not only not getting Eretz Yisrael, the 112th, you wouldn't even be getting, because it says it, even in Eretz Canaan. Sounds like for sure they wouldn't get a 12th in Eretz Gilad. And yet in the Braisa, the way he says the Mashal, sounds like that then he just wouldn't have gotten to share with his two brothers in their fields, but he would have gotten his share in that third field. He just wouldn't have gotten the whole field if he doesn't get the 200 zos. That's not like the way he says in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Loi Kasha. It's not a difficulty, it's not a contradiction. Ha, in our Mishnah, which again, the wording used by Reb Chanina ben Gamliel was Sha'af, which sounds like that even in Eretz Yisrael, if they don't cross over, that's why we have to double it, because we would have thought to say that even in Eretz Yisrael, they're not going to get 1/12, which sounds like for sure they're not going to get their portion in Eretz Gilad. That was Mekmeidin Neimelei Reb Meir. That was before Reb Meir had responded to him, which we quoted in our discussion of the Gemara, which is going to be the premise that the Brice was based on. Before Reb Meir told him, well, if so, Reb Meir responded, if that's what it's coming to repeat it for, is to tell you that, okay, that if they don't cross over, although they're not going to get Eretz Gilad, but to say at least they get a portion in Eretz Yisrael, so Reb Meir responded to them, to Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, okay, but then let it say, v'noichazu. Let it just say that they will inherit b'soichachem without using the words Eretz Canaan. That's what Reb Meir had responded to Reb Chanina ben Gamliel. Now, Reb Chanina had thought that the entirety of Reb Meir's intention was that it was for a Tanai Kafal. I mean, originally how he said, because it's in phases. In the Mishnah was at phase one. In the beginning of the discussion, his assumption was that Reb Meir was saying that you don't have to repeat the second pasuk. Why are you repeating the second pasuk? Oh, to tell you Tanai Kafal. And to say, because if you don't go, then you won't get Eretz Gilad. So it was on that point in the beginning of their discussion that Reb Chanina ben Gamliel said to him that no, that if not for doubling the words, it's not to say Tnai Kafal, it's only because then we would have understood that if you cross, then you get Gilad, but if you don't, you're not going to get anything, not even Eretz Yisrael, and yes, for sure you're not going to get what you really wanted in Eretz Gilad. Because regarding Mechlal Hain, Shemei Alav, from saying that if you cross over and you fight, you'll get Eretz Gilad, of course I already know you're not getting Eretz Gilad. So then why does it repeat and say, but if you don't go, you're not going to get? It's saying that you're not going to get Eretz Gilad, but you're not even going to go ahead and take an Eretz Yisrael because you didn't go over the Jordan to fight and conquer it. So therefore, at that point in the Mishnah, you're right. Reb Chanina was responding that if you were saying you don't need the second pasuk at all, I'm showing you definitely need the second pasuk. If you didn't have any of that second pasuk, then you wouldn't even know that they get anything, not even in Eretz Yisrael, and for sure not in Eretz Gilad. Now, but in the Braisa, where as we quoted from the Mashal, where it says that according to Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, that what they were discussing was, which was, what was the doubling? Reb Meir had said, what was doubled was, why did it say Eretz Canaan? Because Reb Meir agreed to the first part of that pasuk, why it has to be doubled. Not to tell you it's Tanai Kafal, but to tell you, as Reb Chanina had responded to him in our Mishnah, that, okay, you would have thought, if he doesn't cross over, he doesn't get anything. So Reb Meir says, I agree to you, that's why you have to repeat the first half of the pasuk. But why does it say Eretz Canaan? Just say B'Seichachem, and I would have known already that means Eretz Yisrael. So Reb Meir said, the inference is, it has to say Eretz Canaan to say that if you don't cross over, you'll get Eretz Canaan, but not Eretz Gilad. Of course, I know you're not getting Eretz Gilad. No, because you need to say Tanai Kafal. So it was on that that Reb Chanina said to him, that was Labaster, the name of Le Reb Meir B'Neichazu. In the Braisa was what Reb Chanina ben Gamliel was responding to after Reb Meir already said his argument of the Neichazu, that as we just explained, that he said, why do you need to say Eretz Canaan? And that, Reb Chanina told him, that was to say that they get a portion in Eretz Canaan. Because had we not written the words Eretz Canaan, I would have thought to say, says Reb Chanina, what does it mean, B'Neichazu B'Zeichachem? What does it mean if they don't fight, they don't cross over, that they're going to inherit amongst you? It would mean that Eretz Gilad, as we explained before, because that's already the part they already got, but they're not going to get any part in Eretz Yisrael. That's why it has to say Be'eretz Canaan to tell you that they get a portion of Eretz Canaan too. Therefore, it's not a contradiction because the Mishnah is in phase one, when he was assuming Reb Meir was saying you don't need the second pasuk at all, which he says if you don't have it at all, then we would think they get nothing, even in Eretz Yisrael. Then in the Brisa, it was already further along the conversation where Reb Meir exceeded to say that no, you need definitely, if you don't cross over, that you don't, that they will inherit amongst you, because without that part, Reb Meir says, I agree, you would have thought they get nothing, but why does it say Eretz Canaan? And that's what the Muslim, the Bryce is saying to say, why is Eretz Canaan? To say that, yes, I would know that he would get in that third field, that third brother, if he doesn't give the 200 coins. But I would have thought that he doesn't share with them their fields, which is the parallel in the Bryce, the way he's saying it is that, of course they would get 1/12 in Eretz Gila, but I would think that they wouldn't get in Eretz Yisrael that 1/12. That again is only in Havamina, what we wouldn't thought without the Pasuk. Only in Eretz Yisrael, not af Eretz Yisrael, because that's already after the point where you already have the Pasuk already saying, it's just regarding the words Be'eretz Canaan that their discussion is in the Braisa. So again, that's the explanation of Reb Chanina's two phases and his disagreement with Reb Meir, that you don't see the Halach of Tznai Kafel in this halacha of Tznai Geod B'nai Reuven, either because as the Mishnah is talking about the whole Pasuk, or as in the Braisa regarding those extra words, Be'eretz Canaan. Now the Gemara says, based on their machlekes, the Gemara asks the following questions. Bishlem L'Reb Meir, we understand the contrary of Meir, that holds that you need to have a Tznai Kafel. For a Tznai to be a Tznai, it has to be doubled. So Hayin D'Chsiv, that's what it says in Bereishis, when Hashem is telling to Cain, who killed Hevel, he said, a Kafel. He says, Imtative says, seemingly conditionally for a gift, if you do good now, you do tshuva, then you'll get reward. But if you don't do good, then then sin is crouching, is waiting by the entryway, which is that you're going to get punished. So obviously you see from Hashem himself that you need to double things, because if it wasn't doubled, then what do I mean? When he said already, imtative se'es, so I would already know. But if you don't do good, then you won't get reward, which is without doubling, it would not nullify the gift. That's why, according to May, we understand why Hashem had to double it. Because had he not said the flip side, even if he wouldn't fulfill his end of the deal kind and done tshuva, it would sound like he would still get se'es, he would still get reward. But el Reb Chanina lamali, but according to Reb Chanina, why do you need to say imloitative if you already know that inferentially from imtative? If I tell you if you do good, you get reward, I know that if you don't do good, you don't get reward. So why does it have to repeat it? That the Gemara says, I would have thought to say, says Reb Chanina, imtative, agra, what the first half of the pasuk is saying is, yes, if you do good, you get reward, but I would have said, imloitative, if you don't do good, loy agra, loy dina, you don't get reward, but you don't get judgment. In other words, from the inference, I would only know that you don't get the gift. I would know that if you don't do good, you don't get the reward, but I wouldn't know that you get punishment. Kamash Malam, that's what the pasuk is teaching you, according to Reb Chanina, why I had to double it to say that not only do you not get the reward, you actually get punishment too. So the Gemara continues this line of questioning. Bishlam Reb Meir, we could understand the contrary of Meir, who says that you don't learn things from its inferences. So Hayin D'Chsiv, that's what it says in Bereishis. When Avraham Avinu was telling to his slave Eliezer to go ahead and find a suitable match for his son Yitzchak, so he says that, swear to me that you're going to go to my father's household and find a wife for him over there, and not to take from B'nai's Canaan. So he says, if you go to them, and you try finding for us a suitable match for him over there, then us tinaka me'alasi, then you'll be freed from my oath, because he had made him swear. He said, imloy el beis avitelech, if you don't go to my father's household, then you'll have the oath, which is forbidding him to take a wife from the B'nai's Canaan, from where he was living in the Canaan, from those daughters. Now, the inference would tell us that if you do go, then there is no such shvuah. So according to Reb Meir, we understand why does it have to double it? Why does it have to say, but if you do go, then you won't have to keep the shvuah? Is because you don't know mechlal avatashma. You don't know one from the other. So that's what you have to say. If you don't go, obviously you can't take from B'nai's Canaan. That's what he said. But then he said, and if you do go, then you'll be exempt from that shvuah. But El Reb Chanina Mingam Li Lamali, according to him, why do you have to say that if you go, you'll be exempt? What do you mean? You already know. Because the shvuah is only, if you don't go, then you can't take. Which obviously says that if you do go, then you could take from B'nai's Canaan. So obviously, ask the Gemara that you see that if he would not have doubled it, then actually it would not have nullified the condition of the oath, which it would have sounded like Reb Meir, that even if you're going to go, the shvu will take effect of yikach le'isha b'nei's Canaan. You're not supposed to take a wife from b'nei's Canaan. Because, and that's why the pasuk had to say, and Avraham Avinu had to tell him, oh, if you do go, then Tanaka, What do you mean? Of course. The oath was only if I don't go. No. Because it has to be kafel. And I think Mordechai says, no, itzrich, it was necessary to say actually a different component. In other words, yes, you would know, says Rabbi Hanina, that the shvu is only if he doesn't go. Because it said, if you don't go, then you have the shvu, which obviously tells us that if you do go, you don't have the shvu. So why is it repeated? What does it mean, us to nakam yalasi? So sogedat chamina, because I would have thought something else. I would have thought, hecha denichal aladida, that let's say the woman herself is agreeable to go ahead and marry Yitzchak. But the relatives, they're not okay with the match. I would have thought that he could bring the woman even against the will of her relatives. Kamash Malan, that's what the Pasuk is teaching this for, to make it contingent upon the relatives. In other words, when it says, if they're not going to, in other words, if you go to my family in Charan and they don't want to give you Tahar, who is, if they don't want to, that's the relatives. Then you'll be cleansed. In other words, then don't go ahead and forcefully take the woman. But it's not because it's coming to tell you the flip side that, oh, if you don't go, then you cannot take from the nice Canaan. But if you do go and then they don't want to give you, then you could take from the nice Canaan. No, that I would know inferentially. It's only to add a different component, which is imloyitnuloch. If they don't give, who is they? The relatives, which means say even if the woman's agreeable, but the relatives are not okay with it, then don't go ahead and take that woman as a match for my son Yitzchak. And then, of course, you'll know based on the Machlal Henat Shemei Lav that once you went, then you could go ahead and take from the Bnei Knat. Now, the Gemara just asked that related to this halacha, which we're darshening according to Reb Chanina, what was the pasuk needing to say that if the woman doesn't want to, what's that saying? So, Yitzchak, that was necessary to say the other way too. I would have thought to say, let's say the family is okay, the parents, they're okay, they want the match to go ahead, but the woman herself is not okay, she doesn't want to marry Yitzchak. You would think nicely about Karcha, that you bring her even against her will, because the family is okay with it. That teaches the flip side, which is, as we said, the repetition is not for repetition, says Rebbe Chanina. It's just to teach that the family has to be okay with it. And when it says, Vim lo yisai v'ha'isha, that's to say that the woman has to be okay with it. So it's not difficult on Rebbe Chanina. But the Gemara continues asking from a different parasha. Bisham l'Rameya, we understand according to Rameya. Hain duchsiv, that's what it means in Pasuk in Bayikran in Parsha B'chukaisai. When it says, in B'chukaisai teleicha, Hashem says, if you go on my statutes, then it says a whole long list of blessings. Then it says later on the Teichacha, the rebuke, Vim b'chukaisa tum asu. But if you despise my statutes, a whole bunch of punishments. So we understand, because even though we say when you do the mitzvahs, you get reward, you have to say when you don't do, it's the opposite. But El Reb Chanina ben Gamliel Lamali, why does it need to say the other side? You know, if you do mitzvahs, you get blessings. If you don't do, you get curses. So the Gemara says, no, Itzchak, it was necessary. So I would have thought to say, Im b'chukaisa teleichu bracha. If you follow in Hashem's ways, then it's blessings. Now, im b'chukaisa temasu, if it was based on inference, I would have said, but if you despise Hashem's mitzvahs, then loy bracha v'loy klala. You just don't get the blessing, but you don't get curses. K'mash v'lan, that's what, according to Reb Chanina, it's coming to teach us. Not only do you not get blessings, you get all the curses that are said there in the Teichacha, in the rebuke of not following in Hashem's ways. Gemara continues, Bishlam Reb Meir. We understand the contrary of Meir. That's what it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, Im toivu v'shematim v'gayim. If you desire and you listen to Hashem, then that. Vim tam'anu merisim v'gayim. And if you don't and you rebel, then that. Because you have to say the flip side. But according to him, why do you have to say the flip side? So the Gemara says, as I said before, it's necessary. I would have thought to say that if you desire and you do what Hashem wants, then it's good. But if you don't want to, then you don't get good, but you don't get bad. Kamash Malan, that's what has to say that you're going to actually get not just not good, but also bad. Now, the Gemara just asked parenthetically, Mai, what does the Pasuk mean over there in that Parsha as we continue on top of Samach Bezim and Alf, Cherev to Uchlu, which sounds like, if you translate it literally, that they were consuming swords. What does that mean? Samarava, it means it allegorically, Milcha Gilal Nisa, it's talking about large chunks of salt, nama desaria kushi, hard barley bread, ubitzali and onions, where that's like eating swords, because the amamar, like the master had said, pas purni chareva, this dry bread that's baked in this purni oven, which is a large oven, bemelach with salt, ubitzalim and onions, kashim leguv kecharavis. It's hard on the body like swords. So when it says cherv to'uchlu, they're eating swords, what is that for punishment? It means to say that they're going to be eating certain types of foods that are like swords and being detrimental and harmful for the body.